Today we're reading Madhya Lila, chapter 17, The Lord Travels to Vrindavan. Text 157. Yes. Premanande nache gaya sagana hunkar.
Premanande nache gaya sagana hunkar.
Prabhuar prema vesha deke loke chatmakar. Translation. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted, danced, and made loud vibrations, all the people were astonished to see his ecstatic love. Please repeat. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted, danced, and made loud vibrations, all the people were astonished to see his ecstatic love. This is text 158. One Brahmin fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then began to dance with him in ecstatic love. Both of them danced in ecstatic love and embraced one another. Raising their arms, they said, "Chant the holy names of Hari and Krishna." All the people then began to chant, "Hari, Hari," and there was a great uproar. The priest in Lord Keshava's service offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a garland. When the people saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing and chanting, they were struck with wonder, and they all said, "Such transcendental love is never an ordinary thing." The people said, "Simply by seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone is maddened with love of Krishna. Indeed, everyone is laughing, crying, dancing, chanting, and taking the holy name of Krishna. Certainly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in all respects the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Now he has come to Mathura to deliver everyone." After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took aside the Brahmin. Sitting in a solitary place, the Lord began to question him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are an elderly Brahmana. You are sincere and you are advanced in spiritual life. Where from have you gotten this transcendental opulence of ecstatic love for Krishna?" The Brahmin replied, "His Holiness Srila Madhavendra Puri came to the city of Mathura while he was on tour. While at Mathura, Sripad Madhavendra Puri visited my house and accepted me as a disciple. He even took lunch at my home. After installing the deity of Gopal, Srila Madhavendra Puri rendered him service. That very deity is still being worshipped at Govardhan Hill." As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about Madhavendra Puri's relationship with the Brahmin, he immediately offered obeisances at his feet. Becoming fearful, the Brahmin also immediately fell at the Lord's feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are on the platform of my spiritual master, and I am your disciple. Since you are my spiritual master, it is not befitting that you offer me obeisances." Upon hearing this, the Brahmin became afraid. He then said, "Why do you speak like this? You are a sannyasi. Upon seeing your ecstatic love, I can just imagine that you must have some relationship with Madhavendra Puri. This is my understanding. This kind of ecstatic love can be experienced only when one has a relationship with Madhavendra Puri. Without him, even a scent of such transcendental ecstatic love is impossible." Balabhadra Bhattacharya then explained the relationship between Madhavendra Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After hearing this, the Brahmin became very pleased and began to dance. The Brahmin then took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and, out of his own free will, began to serve the Lord in various ways. He asked Balabhadra Bhattacharya to cook Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lunch. At that time, the Lord, smiling, spoke as follows. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Madhavendra Puri has already taken lunch at your place. Therefore, you may cook and give me the food. That is my instruction. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. The Brahmin belonged to the Sanodiya Brahmana community, and a sannyasi does not accept food from such a Brahmana. Purport. This purport is a little complex. In northwest India, Vaishyas are divided into various subdivisions. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that they are divided as Agarayola, Karayola, and Sanodaya. Out of them, the Agarayalas are supposed to be first-class Vaishyas, and the Karolayas and Sanoyadas are considered lower due to their occupational degradation. The Kalayaris generally take wine and other intoxicants. Although they are Vaishyas, they are considered to belong to a lower class. The priests who guide the Kalayalas and the Sanoyadas are called Sanodiya Brahmanas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that the word Sanoyada in Bengal indicates Suvarna Vanak. In Bengal, there are priests who guide the Suvarna Vanak community, which is also considered a low class. There is little difference between the Sanoyada and the Suvarna Vanak. Generally, the Suvarna Vanaks are bankers dealing in gold and silver. In western India, the Agarwalas also belong to the banking profession. This is the business of the Suvarna Vanak. Historically, the Agarwalas come up from the upcountry named Ayodhya, and the Suvarna Vanak community came from Ayodhya. It appears that the Suvarna Vanaks and the Agarwalas belong to the same community. The Sanodiya Brahmanans were guided by the Karolaya and Sanoyada. They are therefore considered to be lower class Brahmins. And a sannyasi is not allowed to take alms or food from them. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted lunch cooked by the Sanodiya Brahman simply because he belonged to Madhavendra Puri's community. Srila Madhavendra Puri was the spiritual master of Ishvara Puri, who was the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, a spiritual relationship is established on the spiritual platform without consideration of material inferiority or superiority. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So here we are continuing with Lord Chaitanya's tour. He has completed 2 years touring South India and returned to Puri, and now he's touring Western India. And he's come first to Mathura, where he took darshan, we learned last week, of the beautiful deity of Keshavaji. And on seeing the beauty of this deity, he danced and chanted in ecstasy. We find that description, his jubilation, just on taking darshan of this wonderful deity. And he was joined by this Brahmin, an elderly Brahmin, described as a Sanodiya Brahmin. So they chanted and danced together, and the people came, were very attracted by their chanting and dancing. And the people were so astonished that they even decided that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, due to his transformations, must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Lord Krishna. This was their conclusion. So it's significant. One thing that's significant here is that Lord Chaitanya saw the ecstasy of this Brahmin and did not speak to him in public, but he took him to a solitary place, and they conversed there. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him where from he had these ecstatic symptoms. It was not something usual. It was extraordinary. And when the Brahmin explained that he was initiated by Srila Madhavendra Puri, then something extraordinary happened. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, who is the maintainer of everything, who in the end destroys everything, who is the super soul in everyone's heart, who is the strength of the strong, who gives remembrance and knowledge and forgetfulness, who is the taste of water, who is the intelligence of the intelligent, fell down at this Brahman's feet and offered him obeisances. It's truly something extraordinary. And why? Because Madhavendra Puri was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. So out of great respect for his param guru, he reacted in this way. And the Brahmin, in his humility, was very surprised and immediately fell at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. So here we have this sublime exchange of love between the Lord and his devotee. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this pastime, he also showed how Krishna consciousness is transcendental to the Varnashram system. Krishna himself establishes Varnashram. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, Chatur Varnya Mayashristam Guna Karma Vibhagasa, which means that by his arrangement, there are four orders of human society. And although humans sometimes try to defy this arrangement of the Lord, for instance, in communist society, they try to say there is a classless society. There's only one class. But in fact, Prabhupada pointed out that even in those societies, you still have intellectual people. You still have people in the government who are administrating, like Kshatriyas, the intellectual people being the Brahmins. You still have Vaishyas who are dealing in money, wheeling and dealing, finances, and also responsible for agriculture. And you still have the Sudras who are helping the other three classes. So the system, since it's the arrangement of the Lord, it cannot be denied. It's there inevitably, however much people try to cover it over. But for one who is Krishna conscious, for one who has realized their existence beyond the body, then they can transcend this Varnashram system, as this Sanodiya Brahman did. And Lord Chaitanya recognized his elevated position, his advancement, and therefore he broke tradition and took prasadam at his home. And we can see from this purport, which is very complex, that besides the four divisions, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, within each division there are further divisions. So amongst the Brahmins, you have higher caste Brahmins and lower caste Brahmins. And this particular Brahmin was considered lower because he preached to a lower caste of Vaishyas. In other words, in the Vaishyas also, there are divisions. So some of them take intoxicants and wine. Wine and other intoxicants, as Prabhupada says here. And since this Brahmin, the Sanodiya Brahmin, preached, so as the priest of these lower caste Vaishyas, he himself was considered lower. And therefore, strictly speaking, a sannyasi should not take something that he has cooked. But because of his relationship with Madhavendra Puri, because of his exalted Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya ignored all that and was very pleased to be hosted by the Sanodiya Brahmana. So another significance of this pastime is that in the Sanodiya Brahmana, we find the presence of his spiritual master. Because of his purity, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could feel the presence of Srila Madhavendra Puri. We should point out the unique position of Madhavendra Puri in the disciplic succession. That Srila Prabhupada, he has a list in Bhagavad Gita of the disciplic succession, beginning with Lord Krishna. Prabhupada is number 32. So Srila Madhavendra Puri is number 20. So in other words, it goes Krishna, Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, Vyasadev, Madhvacharya. Then it goes on Lakshmipati Tirtha, and then Srila Madhavendra Puri. And Prabhupada explains that until Madhavendra Puri, the Acharyas were worshipping Krishna. It was Madhavendra Puri who introduced the worship of Radha Krishna and with it the ecstasy that Lord Chaitanya is exhibiting in his pastimes, and here the son of Diabrahman also exhibited. Before that, this ecstasy of love of God was not present in our line. So in that way, Madhavendra Puri has a unique position. And in the son of Diabrahman, in his purity, we can feel the presence, as I'm saying, of his spiritual master. Yesterday, Maharaj was speaking about the analogy of two birds in a tree, that there is the enjoying bird trying to eat the fruits of the tree, and next to him is his friend, another bird, who is simply the witness. He sanctions the attempt of the enjoying bird to enjoy these fruits. So the enjoying bird is the jivatma, all of us, trying to relish something in this material world and failing again and again. Because in fact, the jivatma is spiritual, and for it to relish anything, that thing must be spiritual. But due to our desires, which are confused, which are the product of ignorance, we try to relish some fruit of this material world, and our friend, the Supersoul, is next to us, witnessing and sanctioning and waiting also patiently. So eventually, when this enjoying bird becomes frustrated and gives up his attempt to enjoy, finally he will change his desire when he becomes aware of the presence of his friend next to him, and he will try to please his friend, the Supersoul, Krishna. So at that point, the desires gradually become purified. And when the desire is completely pure, then we see that that individual can properly represent Krishna and his spiritual master, as this Brahman is doing. So it's a gradual process. It can't be done artificially, and pretense is worse than useless. And Prabhupada points out, actually just now we're working on the translations of the final purports of Srila Prabhupada. We managed to film them. It was from the 10th canto, chapter 13, when Lord Brahma steals the cows and calves and cowherd boys. And Prabhupada was translating that on his departure bed. And in text 53, Prabhupada says, Varnashram is essential. Why? Because by Varnashram, we can gradually overcome the forces of ignorance, tamagund, and rajas, the force of passion, or greed and lustiness. If we simply act according to our propensities within the Varnashram system, then gradually we'll be purified of these lower tendencies and come to the position of sattvagun, goodness. And Prabhupada points out that that's done by controlling the senses, by regularly attending, seeing Mangal Arati, rising early, bathing. Mind you, he's saying all this just days before he leaves this world, emphasizing the importance of these basic principles for us to overcome degradation, to have the strength to resist all the allurements offered in the material world. So then gradually, by good association, bhakta sanavas, we can come to the position of goodness and then finally transcend goodness by the mercy of the spiritual master. So it's a process that is relishable in all its stages, and we're very fortunate to have it available to us. And it's not that when we come to these platforms beyond passion and goodness, beyond passion, goodness, and ignorance, that we become one, but rather our real individuality at that point can come out. Our individuality is there eternally. There are hints of it in the material world, like we all have our unique fingerprints, and now they've discovered each person has their own unique DNA. But in the material world, this individuality that we commonly show is more often the result of peer pressure or some conditioning when we grew up in our families, or the force of passion making us follow fashions. I was in Sharanagati, and they had this fashion that the young men would wear chains. I don't know if it came to Europe, but there would be a stainless steel chain that would start at the belt, which was very low, and it would make a curve and come up and join the belt in another place. And all the young men were wearing this. And so I asked one of them, why are you wearing that? And he didn't know, just because they all were wearing it, so he wore it. So in this way, we become servants of fashion, and we think we're expressing our individuality, but actually we're simply following blindly the others. But in spiritual life, we see the actual unconditioned individuality. It's described in Nectar of Devotion. Lord Krishna's extraordinary variegated individuality, that in one sense he's Darodatta, or he's chivalrous and physically very attractive and gentle. And then he's also Dhiralalita, where he's funny, expert in joking, subdued by his lovers. And he's Dhira Prashanta, that he's very peaceful and forbearing. And he's Dhiradatta, that he's envious and easily angered and complacent. So according to the circumstance and the devotee that he's interacting with, he exhibits this tremendous variegatedness. And also in Srila Prabhupada, we could see sometimes he would be fatherly with his disciples, sometimes he would be, as a father, kind and loving. Other times, as a father, he would be strict and demanding. Sometimes he'd be very grave and sometimes jolly, sometimes like an innocent child. Tremendous variety. So you could say, well, that's also there in the material world. But the difference is, when it's unconditioned, it's attractive to everyone. These qualities are all attractive. Whereas in the material world, you find some people are attracted, other people aren't attracted. And many times they create disagreements. So the question for all of us is how to overcome our conditioning and be ourselves pure servants of our spiritual master. Every day we sing this song, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Koriya Aikya Arna Koriya Mane Asa. This song by Narottam Das Thakur, in which every line is full with potency. And in this particular line, he gives us a hint of how to purify ourselves. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. So Vakya is the words that come from the lotus mouth of the Guru. It's very important that the word Padma be explained. Padma is lotus, the last word in beauty. And the words that come from the spiritual master's mouth, they describe Krishna, who is related to the lotus in so many ways. His eyes are like the lotus petals. His hands and feet are compared to lotuses. From his navel, a lotus sprouts. He resides on a lotus-like planet in the spiritual world, in the shape of a lotus. So in that way, those words, the vakya coming from Guru Mukha, the mouth of the Guru, are all concerning Krishna, the all-attractive person. Then chittete koriya aikya. Chittete is one's consciousness or heart. Koriya, that's the verb. Aikya means unity. Narottam Das Thakur is saying he wants his consciousness, his heart, to be unified with those words that come from the lotus mouth of his spiritual master. There should not be any difference between the words and his consciousness. Arna koriya mane asa. Except for this, there is no hope. Asa, hope. So without this, there is no hope for us. We will remain stuck in the material world. So we also say every morning when we sing to Tulsi Devi, Seva Adhikaro Diye. Seva is service. Adhikaro, it's usually translated quality. But whoever translated that gave a very interesting definition. The translation is May I have the privilege of engaging in your service. Please give me the privilege of engaging in your service. So it's nothing to be taken for granted that we have this opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his servants. It's a great privilege. So let us together take advantage of it and slowly make progress to go back home, back to Godhead. So I think we have time for comments. Lord Krishna, Dhirodatta, envious. Yes, I mentioned the quality, Dhirodatta. I'm probably not saying the Sanskrit right, that Lord Krishna also shows envy. It's described in Nectar of Devotion under Krishna's personality. And the example is given that once he was writing a letter to Kalyavana, and he compared Kalyavana to a black snake, yes? And Krishna was going to destroy this. Oh, he's the black snake. Kalyavana was the frog? The frog of Kalyavana, yeah. So in that way. The variegated Supreme Lord whom we worship. It's described by Prabhupada in a purport that he was the first in our entire disciplic succession. Prior to that, with Lakshmi, his own spiritual master, Lakshmipati Tirtha, and before that, all the way, there was simply worship of Krishna. And so you didn't have this ecstatic attraction between Radha and Krishna that's exhibited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That ecstasy that's exhibited in this pastime and also by Madhavendra Puri, that started with Madhavendra Puri. Tremendous contribution to our parampara. Thank you very much for your attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.